Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
If you would take your Bibles, I'm excited about where the Lord wants to take us, and I've got some time on my hands. Not today. We've got plenty of time. I mean, I'm going to pick up where I leave off next week. I'm not going to torture you by keeping you here all afternoon, although that wouldn't be the worst thing that could happen to you, you know. All right, so Jude, this is like Bible quiz time. Where is Jude? Look in the index if you need to. Jude 1. I'm going to have you turn there just so you have a reference point for it. And I'm actually going to read it out of the Message version, which I appreciate that in this particular passage. And we're going to start with verse 17, Jude 1:17, where it says, "Remember, dear friends, that the apostles of our master Jesus Christ told us what would happen. In the last days, there will be people who won't care about these things, which is the things of God. They won't take them seriously anymore. They'll treat them like a joke, and they'll make religion out of their own whims and lusts. These are the ones who split churches, thinking only of themselves. There's nothing in them, no sign of the Spirit. But you, dear friends, carefully build yourselves up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we are being encouraged now to stir up our most holy faith and pray in the Spirit on all occasion, and to just have our arms stretched open for the mercy and the love of the Father to come through us through Jesus Christ. And so last week I brought a message on how we as the church are a dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. And Jesus calls us a house of prayer. And we tackled that last week, and I felt really like we really got some momentum going last week about what our assignment is as a fellowship of believers, not only this particular family among families, but the church in general in Woodland Park, in this region. We are a priesthood of believers. We are a royal priesthood. And as priests in the Lord, with Jesus, our high priest, we make intercession. We bring people to the Father. We're like, "God, remember this person." We ask God to intervene on behalf of others. We are actually holding that position. And it's like the imagery that we got from Jan. We are, in a way, interceding and bridging that gap for people. And that happens in the place of prayer. And so one of the things that we want to do here is we raise our vision towards praying according to God's will. It's one thing for us to pray. It's another thing for us to pray according to God's will. We find ourselves lacking insight. We lack the knowledge, the wisdom, and we just, you know, we struggle in and of ourselves. And so we have this great encouragement from Romans 8, where in our weakness, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us. Stir up your most holy faith, and on every occasion pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit intercedes through us, sometimes with groanings that words cannot even express. The Holy Spirit, who searches all things, who knows not only the heart of the Father, but the heart of each person, can intercede, and we become that instrument, that conduit by which the Spirit of God stirs our hearts to pray according to God's will. The beauty of it is this, that as we are praying for others in the Holy Spirit, we get a glimpse of God's love for them. We get a glimpse of God's heart for them. We get a glimpse of Jesus's thoughts over a matter. We get more than a glimpse. We get insight. We know that passage, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and the human heart has not imagined all that God has for those who love Him and are called according to His purposes." And yet it says there, right after that, it says, but God has chosen to reveal these things by his Spirit. All of these things that our eyes haven't seen yet, our ears haven't heard yet, and our hearts have not imagined, the Lord wants to reveal these things to us by his Spirit. We get to be smarter than we are. Isn't that great news? So where I left off last week, and I gave you a heads up that I was going to talk to you all this week about what it meant to be spiritual Christians. Not creepy religious Christians. Not soulish, carnally minded Christians. But spiritual Christians. So let's pour over God's word here for a few minutes and let our faith kind of get stirred up and arise. I'm going to reference a lot. The reason why I left a lot of blank space on your words for your music here is so that you can make some notes. I may paraphrase and just reference some of these passages, and we may actually take the time to look at them. Holy Spirit. When you hear me say the name Holy Spirit, I'm sure it brings up all sorts of things. For many of us, it is like, For some of us, like, oh, no. Listen, when I was raised up in a very, very conservative, highly traditional type of church environment, Holy Spirit was never really brought up. In fact, without wanting to be derogatory at all, this fellowship had a Trinity, and it was God the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. And so we were what we would know now as Bible deists. Is there anything wrong with the Word of God? No. Is there anything wrong with the Holy Spirit? No. In fact, the Holy Spirit from Genesis 1:1, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Spirit has been here since before day one. And we pick it up in Mark 1:7-8. This is John the Baptist making this announcement. In Mark 1:7-8, he says, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so when we start talking about being spiritual Christians, we have to understand that this was all part of the plan. From John the Baptist announcing the arrival of Jesus, he is saying to us, I want you to know that Jesus is going to come with a particular purpose, and that purpose is to baptize you, just as I am baptizing with water, where no part of your body is left untouched. You are absolutely immersed, utterly overwhelmed with the water. Jesus is going to do the same thing with his Spirit. And then we get into Luke 3:21-22. And there was a crowd that was being baptized by John, and Jesus himself came and was baptized. And as he prayed, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with you. Isn't that an amazing account of Jesus being baptized and then the Holy Spirit coming and resting upon him in the form of a dove? And so the big question that I often get asked, and I get asked this a lot when I go to YWAM and I teach on things very similar to this, is do we receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved, when you believe? And so the question that I like to kind of wrestle with when I have this conversation with people has to do with the eternal security of Jesus Christ. I mean, before Jesus Christ was baptized, before the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, was Jesus saved? It's a mind twister. Look, I may actually disturb you a little bit today. You may actually walk away with a few more questions than you have answers, which is great. Come back next week. We'll continue right where we left off, and we'll have a good time with it, okay? So, that's an interesting question. Yet the Holy Spirit came upon him, and Luke 4 tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was led into the wilderness after baptism, after the dove. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he went out. And he went out to be tempted, but when he came back, it says, in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus came back to the synagogue and he began to preach. And that's when his public ministry launched, was at his baptism. In fact, he was not even declared by anyone until John the Baptist that this is the Messiah, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And the reason why John was so confident in that was because he had been told, John was a prophet, he had been told by God himself, when you see a dove land on the guy, he's the one. So, with that, John 14:16-17, Jesus tells us, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. I love the title, and he has several titles. Holy Spirit has several titles, and Counselor is one of them. I also love this promise, he will never leave you. And then John 14:26, when the Father sends the Counselor as my representative, in other words, he will represent me to you. As the Father sends the Counselor as my representative, and by the Counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I myself have told you. I see Jesus telling us that this Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will lead us into truth. And what does the truth do for us? It sets us free. That's why in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, the Lord is the Spirit. So when I'm talking about Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the very Spirit of Christ. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So good. And Jesus is so committed to the plan coming together that he goes on to say in John 16:7, this is a real statement here. He's saying this to people who really, really love Jesus. His besties. He says, look, it's better, it's actually best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the Counselor won't come. If I go away, he will come because I will send him to you. So back to the question. Do you have the Holy Spirit when saved? And I want to turn our attention to Ephesians 1:13. And while you're turning there, did you just hear what Jesus says? It's like better if I go away, because if I go away, then the Counselor will come to you. Now, they already have Jesus. He's saying this to them like, but listen, instead of one Jesus now, the presence of Christ in us, we represent Jesus because the Holy Spirit's in us representing Jesus. And we are not one person in one solitary location. We are many, millions across the face of this globe who have the capacity to represent Jesus. That's better. All right, so Ephesians 1:13-14. Now, when you heard the truth, the good news that God saves you, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his very own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. That's great. So what he's saying there is, when you hear the truth about being saved and you believe in Christ Jesus, then he identifies you as his very own by giving you the Holy Spirit, who he's promised to you. The Spirit of God is God's guarantee that he will give you everything that he's promised, and that he has purchased us to be his very own people. So the Holy Spirit does come to you at salvation, and the Holy Spirit indwelling in you is the deposit guaranteeing all of God's promises for you. That's good news. It's amazing news. So yes, at salvation, the Holy Spirit is in you. He's your deposit. And I like to refer to this indwelling presence of God in you like a deep well. You cannot plumb the depths of that well. That well is eternal, and it's in you. Now let's look at this. This is interesting because I want to look at the first time that this actually happens to the disciples, where they experience the deposit of the Holy Spirit coming into their life. And that is in John 20, 22. Jesus enters the room. Now Jesus has been crucified. He was buried. And none of these folks had actually seen Jesus after his resurrection yet. And Jesus comes into the room and he meets with them for the first time after all of the trauma of that, what they experienced that week. And he says to them, I give you what the world cannot give. I give you peace. He actually lets them like validate. This is really Jesus. Okay, Thomas, put your fingers right there in the hole. And then he does this amazing thing. He takes their faces in his hands and he breathes on them and he says, receive my spirit. It's my personal opinion that this was the first time that the Holy Spirit had entered into them, that deposit, guaranteeing the promises that God had made to them. I believe that was the moment of their new covenant salvation. He had not been raised from the dead until then. He had not descended into Hades and had not taken the keys of the kingdom and restored all things in that way. And so now the time had come. They received this deposit. It's a beautiful story. And then he tells these very same people in Acts 1, verse 4. Acts 1, verse 4, he says, wait here. Now, I'm really interested in this because there's nowhere in John 20 where I see any of these disciples dodging Jesus when he starts to breathe on them. None of that. They were all recipients, right? They all got it. And yet he says this, wait for me, because here in Acts 1:4, one of his meetings, he was eating a meal with them. He says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends what he promised. Remember, I told you about this before. John baptized with water. But in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. They had just received the deposit, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And now he's telling these very same people, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, going to baptize you. In fact, in verse 8 of that same chapter, Acts 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and you will represent me. You will go into all the earth and you will represent me. So this is interesting. And then we see it 10 days later in Acts 2. They're all gathered together, and the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon them. We hear of the tongues of fire and the voices that are speaking out and all of these languages that they had not learned, but everyone in these different from these different countries are understanding what is being said, and 3,000 people come to faith that day. That is power. That is like awesome. And so it's true that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they received power and they represented Jesus, and so many people were pulled up out of that place of despair and brought into that place of hope and joy. Beautiful. So let's look at something interesting about the people who believed in Jesus but had not yet been baptized by the Holy Spirit. We don't always see this. So this is accounts of people who had believed but had not yet received this infilling of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps they had a deposit, the indwelling Holy Spirit, but they had not yet experienced this outpouring of God's Spirit on their life. And so, well, let's start with Acts 19. And this is an interesting story because these guys, Paul is in Ephesus, and he found several believers, and Paul just comes straight out and asks, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? No, they replied, we don't even know what you mean. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then by what baptism did you experience? And they said, the baptism of John. And Paul says, John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin and move towards God. That's a good thing. John himself told the people to believe in Jesus, the one that John said was to come later. And as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they began to speak in other tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 men in all. So there's an example of some people who came into faith in Jesus. And then Paul prayed that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. This one in Acts 8 was really fascinating to me. This is where Philip goes into a town called Samaria. And in verse 12 here, Acts 8, the people of Samaria believed Philip's message of the good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ Jesus. As a result, many men and women were baptized. We would call that a revival in the city. That's a good thing. And then we pick it up in verses 14 through 17. And when the apostles back in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there because when they arrived, they prayed that these new Christians would receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute, I thought that was the goal. Actually, there's more. And then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. Fascinating. Well, apparently, there is this deposit that's made at salvation, the indwelling Holy Spirit, that deep well. And it guarantees the promises of God. And then there is this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or what we would see referenced here as an infilling. And that empowers us to represent Jesus to the world around us. I find that really fascinating. This idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at Ephesians 5:18. And I'll just quote this one right here. It says, "Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." I always like this one because it kind of does this comparison contrast. I always wondered why he was bringing up wine here. I don't think he's just saying don't touch this stuff. He's saying don't get drunk on this stuff all the time, because what that is an illegitimate means of trying to fulfill a very legitimate longing. The longing can be fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. But we know what happens when you drink too much. All right, you kind of fall in love with people that you normally wouldn't fall in love with sometimes. Okay, people kind of, you know, your perspective changes, just this courage that starts to build up, the inhibitions start to go out the window, you start to take risks, you start to be courageous about some things. And so, listen, all of that is just a pale imitation of what God really wants to do in a person's life when he's saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Grow in your compassion for people. Let the inhibitions go. Let fear fade. Let courage arise. Let your perspectives change so that you're not seeing things from a worldly perspective anymore. You're seeing things from a heavenly perspective, and you are catching a glimpse of things as God sees them. And what's interesting is when it says here, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he's saying be filled and continually be filled. There's an ongoing process of being filled. And we're going to get to that in just a second here. But I want to ask this question. How then do we experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit? I mean, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you were baptized into Christ, and you know that you have this guaranteed deposit of the Holy Spirit living within you, then first of all, why would you want the infilling, you know, this new outpouring of God's Spirit into your life on a continual basis? Well, the number one reason is so that you can represent Jesus. And so there's a couple ways we see in Scripture where you can actually nurture that. And the first one is a very personal thing. And we look at it in Luke 11, verse 13. I'll start it with this. It says, "You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, will you give them a snake instead? If they ask you for an egg, will you give them a scorpion? Of course not. And if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And you need to know that there's a reason why the comparison is with food. because that nurtures you. And so often, we ascribe fear to what we think we're going to end up with. We ask for bread, we're not going to get a snake. We ask for an egg, we're not going to get a scorpion. We ask for the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, we're not going to get something that's going to destroy our lives. So if you want the infilling of the Holy Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to come upon you, then ask the Father for it. Back up. If you want the presence of the Holy Spirit to be filling your lives on a continual basis, ask the Father for Him, not it. He is a person. In fact, if God the Father is in heaven and Jesus is seated with Him at the right hand, and they have released to planet Earth the very presence of the Holy Spirit, then technically, Holy Spirit is the only God on the planet. And we want to be nurturing relationship with Holy Spirit. So you want to be tapping that deep well on a continual basis. And you want to be asking the Father for an outpouring of His Spirit into your life so that you can represent Jesus to the people around you. And so that's the one way. The other way is to get around it. You ask for the Holy Spirit, then you get around Him. And like Jan was saying, this question that you asked Jesus when you were praying during worship, Jesus, where are you? Amazing question. We need to be asking that a lot. And we need to be getting around the people, because that was the answer, right? My body, my presence is with the body. We need to be getting around people who are comfortable with flowing in and asking the Father for an outpouring of His Spirit on a continual basis. I mean, like Paul praying for the believers in Ephesus, like Peter and John praying for the believers in Samaria. There were people who were comfortable with this and moving in this, and this was a natural part of their existence on the earth, and they came into the company of these other folks, and they were able to then impart that to the people around them. Now, I love this one. This is an Old Testament example of this, and it's out of 1 Samuel 10. And I'll just say this, that when Samuel was speaking to Saul about being anointed as king, he says this. He says, I want you to go to a certain place, Gibeah, and I want you to go there, and you will meet a band of prophets. Prophets were anointed by the Holy Spirit. You will meet a band of prophets, and they will be coming down off of this hill, and they'll be playing their instruments, the harp and the tambourine and the flute and the lyre, and they will be prophesying. And at that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you with power, and you will prophesy with them. And get this, I love this, and you will be changed into a different person. And after these signs take place, do whatever you think is best, for God will be with you. Talk about freedom. Come under the power of the Holy Spirit and let God do things in your life and through your life as you desire. Yeah, let me just wrap it up with this. The indwelling Holy Spirit is essential for salvation. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is essential for living life on this earth, representing Jesus. So basically, it's this. The indwelling Holy Spirit is for you. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for others. The indwelling Holy Spirit is a deep well, that's for you. And the infilling of God's Spirit coming onto your life, that is for others, because at that point you're a river. You know this passage, right? Rivers of living water flowing from your bellies, that is the Holy Spirit. So listen, folks, I just want to say this, that this fellowship is not a lake. We're a river. And in order for us to flow out and represent Jesus to this community and to the world around us, whether that's Belize or Japan or wherever it is the Lord would take us, we have an absolute dependence on the infilling, fresh impartation of God's Spirit in our lives on a daily basis. And so with that, I want to invite you to just stand. And I'm going to pray for each one of us. It's hugely important for us to circle around this on every occasion as the Lord would prompt us, because He wants us to be spiritual Christians. He wants us to be moving in step with His Holy Spirit. He wants us to be flowing in the presence of His Spirit. He wants us to be representing Him, not just in word, but in power. And so now, just reach your hand out like it's Christmas. Father, we are asking You, just go ahead and let Your voice say it. We are asking You, God, for Your presence to come into our life. We are asking You to fill us. We're asking You now, baptize us fresh and new with Your Holy Spirit. And we say that apart from You, we can do nothing. And so we need You. We are so grateful for the deposit, God. We are so grateful for that deep well that guarantees what is to come. And we say now, we need You fresh and new, flowing into our lives, flowing out through our lives, Lord God. Just as was exampled here today, Lord God, where Jan was willing as a vessel to be used by You, where You flowed into her and then she released that out to us, and we were so encouraged by that. She was a river for us. Thank You, God. We receive what You have for us, not only through Your actual presence, but what we can receive from each other. Lord, we are a river for each other, and we're a river for the city. And so we want to thank You, God, for Your presence with us. And it's by faith that we receive You now. We don't have to feel it. We don't have to experience anything other than this assurance that Your word is true. And when we ask You, Father, You are a good dad who's going to give us the gift of Your Holy Spirit. And so we ask for that now. And yet, Lord, we want to experience You. We want to know Your power. We want to be used by You. We want to flow in some naturally supernatural ways. Just as we go about our business doing what we think is best, You are going to show up and You're going to do some amazing things. And so we give You our lives, Lord God, right now, once again, and we say, thank You, God. So Holy Spirit, I pray that You would descend on each person here like rain that falls, Lord God. Would You come and just fill our lives up? And Lord, we take You with us and we take this desire with us. And so wherever we go today, let it continue, God, like wave upon wave upon wave. Let Your presence come over our lives, Lord God. And let us, Lord, have the courage and let us have the compassion and let us have the refreshed capacity, Lord God, to go beyond ourselves. Let us pray according to Your Spirit. Let us have Your heart and Your mind. I just declare over this house that we are a prophetic community. We are prophetic in the sense that we understand more and more as God reveals His heart to us, His desires for the city, for the friends that we have, for our families. And so, Lord, we just want to receive that from You. And we thank You, God, that You're not asking us to promote a subculture of the church. You're asking us to believe Your word and to be followers of Your word, Lord God, as You give to us, Lord, clarity in Scripture of what it is that we're to be about, Lord God. And for those of us, Lord God, who believed in You and were baptized and yet have never experienced an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, I pray for a fresh outpouring on each one of those people now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.